the forecast. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the podcast. No, we didn't ignite it, though we tried to find.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's rocking career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. Today's episode, we'll be discussing Billy's seventh studio album, Glass Houses.
Yeah, this is the big one.
It is.
It's the rocker. It's the R-A-W-K-er.
Exclamation point, underline, deal with it.
Deal with it. You just got to deal with Billy on this album, all right? He's not going to let you not deal with Billy on
this
album.
Right? He's going to get in your face, and he's going to start pointing with his fingers, his fat fingers, and like, deal with me.
Let's hear a little from the Billy Joel interview where he's in front of the boats, where he's talking about where this album came from.
When it came time to Glass Houses, that was around 1980, and we were playing. We had now had about 2-3 years of playing in arenas and coliseums, and I recognized that I needed to write bigger music, songs like "Just the Way You Are," "Honesty," ballads. They don't always fly that well in an arena. You need big sound. So I started writing harder edge songs, more guitar based songs.
Yeah, I'm sure that's totally the reason, Billy. It's not that you were feeling insecure in the age of punk and new wave. It was just that you gotta please the people.
You gotta make your music suit the room. And that's what he was doing.
That's what you gotta do.
Gotta do it.
Check this out from later in this interview. I love this.
Instead of just playing an acoustic piano, I was playing all different kinds of electric pianos to kind of get it at a harder edge. Around 1980, there was the Yamaha CP80, and it just had a good punch to it, just really good bang on the piano. And you could throw it really good, too. I threw it off the stage a few times. It made an impression.
Oh, he's so bad.
He's
just such a bad boy.
Can you imagine being in the audience when you have like a Yamaha 720 come crashing down on you?
It's just like, Billy, you know, he used to be such a nice boy.
He's throwing shit.
He's throwing things. What happened?
What happened? He's been listening too much of them Sex Pistols.
I know, that's
it
right.
It gets him excited before bed.
And his father wasn't around.
He wasn't around.
And you're starting to really see the consequences.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, anywho, this year album came out March 10th, 1980. Meg, what else happened there on 1980?
Blue Lagoon hit theaters. The science fiction film featured two genetically engineered teens growing up on an island paradise where there was no acne, no gangliness, but plenty of hair product.
Somehow, yes. Just like Billy tried to get tough in his music, Jimmy Carter tried to get tough on those commies.
Bastards.
He pulled the U.S. out of the Summer Olympics in Moscow. He slapped a grain embargo on the Soviets. Oh, snap.
They love their grain.
They love their grain. And just like nobody bought the act with Billy, nobody bought the act with Jimmy, and he lost re-election to some senile ex-B-movie star.
Mount St. Helens erupted, giving Washington State a hardcore edge for the first time in its sad little history.
John Lennon got shot. Joy Division singer Ian Curtis hanged himself. AC/DC singer Bon Scott drank himself to death, as did Zeppelin drummer John Bonham. And Billy was like, oh, hey, wait, guys, I'm totally dangerous, too. See, I own sunglasses and I own a motorcycle.
And he throws his keyboard out onto the audience.
Killed three people in the front row.
Flattened them. 1980 was the year that Billy Joel put on his leather jacket, wriggled into his tight Levi's, and rocked out.
It's a rock solid year for Joel. Oh, hey, Brenda. Brenda.
What's up, Eddie?
It's 1980, and look, Billy's on the television.
What?
And this is 2020. On the ABC News Magazine, 2020, tonight.
I don't care what you say anymore.
Look at him, he's all grown up.
He is! What a handsome
Billy
boy.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Repping the island. Only the good
time. He says he was a punk in high school, didn't show up for class.
So at the end they said, we can't graduate you because you haven't showed up, so you have to go to summer school. So I went, I'm not going to Columbia University, I'm going to Columbia Records.
So bad.
And I wonder how often he practiced that line in the mirror.
I know.
Album after album, big sellers all, and each one in a different style. He's one of the very few truly unique performers in music today.
One of the very few truly unique performers.
Woo!
It's so unique. Where
so
does he,
unique.
Where
He's
does he
the
get
most
these,
unique.
Where does he get these sounds from?
You know, you know, I don't know.
I've never
so
heard them
unique.
Before. I've never heard them, so he must have invented them,
he
right?
He must have.
Yeah.
He's so inventive and not at all easily influenced.
Yeah. Whoa, VHS.
Next, an exclusive profile of Billy Joel, a true original in a world of imitators.
Oh,
oh, Hugh Downs.
Oh, Hugh Downs.
You've seen so little of the world, Hugh Downs. You've been locked in the studio all this time. You've never seen another band play in your life.
He's naive innocent.
I know. Look at him.
Now, you are about to see a man who has grossed $80 million with his music.
$80 million.
Billy Joel.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life.
Ba-ba-ba-da-ba.
Is a superstar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he is.
The little schlubby Jewish guy.
It's a superstar.
With him for this profile. Profile of Billy Joel. Tom,
you? A lot of people think Billy Joel is the best songwriter and performer in the United States today, but he's more.
A lot of people are saying it,
but not in Canada. Just in the United States.
That's right. 30,
Billy Joel is still it's the a very limited geographical region.
Freaking hate him in Canada.
Oh God.
God.
I'd like to
Run out of the Netherlands.
So, there's so many things to talk about with this. One is just like the production style of these news magazines. It's so charming.
It is.
These like you just see these old white men going into the
newsman.
Yeah, going into the VO booth.
I'm Johnny Newsman.
Going into the VO booth and just shouting. Right. Why did they shout? Why are they so loud? Billy Joel.
Make the audience feel it.
I mean.
He's the most unique.
I just don't understand the volume. I don't. Why do you guys shout, Hugh Downs? I don't get it.
I was in the kitchen. I didn't hear that. Can you shout a little louder, Hugh?
Well, maybe that's what it is. Like, you know, making sure that mom in the kitchen can hear it.
Right.
Because mom in 1980 was always,
always
in the kitchen.
Yeah. Pregnant.
And pregnant. So we have to talk about that. And then there's the other thing that we have to talk about in this piece. Our old friend Artie.
Oh.
Artie comes back.
This son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. You messed up my record and you stole all my profits.
Oh, I mean, okay. That guy can't master a record out of a bag.
Okay.
He's a real piece of work.
All right, so seriously, and this is the thing you got to give like the 2020 people credit for, which is like, yeah, the production style of this stuff is like very, very happy schmappy. Mm-hmm. But they knew exactly what they were doing when they got Artie off and got him on camera.
Yeah.
They were totally trying to say to the viewers, can you believe this fucking dirtbag?
Right, exactly.
Like, so, okay, let's find where Artie shows up on camera.
Billy Joel would get to Columbia Records, but not right away. First, he teamed up with this man, Artie Ripp. Artie's a Los Angeles record producer who 10 years ago heard a demo tape and signed Billy Joel sight unseen to a long-term contract.
I love Billy Joel. I want to have Billy Joel on my record label. We pick up the phone. This is Artie Ripp. Oh, the guy at the other end of the phone, I said, where is Billy now? He says, Billy's sleeping on the floor of a laundromat. In Long Island right now.
And I said, let's take all his money so that he stays there.
Right.
All right.
Sounds like an unfortunate story. How could I make it worse?
We have to describe the visuals. Okay, so first of all, under the VO, we see him driving up in a car. How would you describe this car?
It's like if Daddy Warbucks suddenly went gauche. You know, like he got real flash with his money, with the orphans. Here he comes. It's Artie in his convertible Mercedes from like the 1920s.
Oh my God. But it's like polished. It's like reflecting the sun in such a way that's melting the camera lens.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's like literally, it's like if a guy, you know, old timey movie guy is like, I'm going to buy a big shiny car.
I'm going to get out of this small town.
And I'm going to buy a big shiny car and show them what I'm worth.
I just got to find a woman or a musician to exploit.
That's what he got, the stupid car. And now it's the sit-down interview that he's like, the tight shot of already on camera. We're seeing his hair. What is going on with his hair?
So imagine if Eddie Munster was like living during the disco era. You know, so like he's got the Eddie Munster widow's peak.
Yeah, there's a widow's peak. There's a really greased up, like jet black widow's peak in the middle. So he's like Eddie Munster on the middle, but on the sides, he's like Goldilocks or something.
He is. He's like, the ladies love my hair.
There's all these luxuriant curls.
Ooh.
That it's just like two totally different hairstyles
it
on
really
one man.
Is.
I don't understand this. And then plus the big bushy eyebrows in the middle.
Which, you know, I wonder if they get messed up when he's driving in his Corvette.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's why it all just needs to just be waxed up, you know, so it just stays exactly like that. You know what between the hair and the car, what he reminds me of is one of the fake people from that show, The Prisoner.
I've never seen The Prisoner, but I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Oh my God, Artie. All right, should we leave this for now and then come back to Artie a little bit later in the program?
Absolutely. There's okay. So much to say
so
about
much
Artie.
To say about
we
Artie
just need to have a special one-off where we just trash on Artie.
I think that's what we're doing so far. but yeah, this 2020, this was like, this is pegged to, they did this when Glass Houses came out.
Mm-hmm.
and that's how you know that you've actually past your peak is that like the, you
the
know,
mainstream media.
Yeah, television news magazines on the networks are doing profiles about you for the first time.
Right.
That so you know you're about 3 years past where you wanted to be.
Right.
Right? All right.
You're on the downhill slope.
Let's listen to this stupid record. Okay. First song?
Let's go with You May Be Right.
The opener.
Yep.
It starts with a sound effect, right?
What great song doesn't? I mean, it's sort of like a Halloween album with like scary sounds.
Just like Thriller.
Yep.
Yeah, so here's the sound effect that it just lays out the mission statement for the whole record.
Oh!
Deal with it! Deal with my truth!
Rock!
Oh, this isn't the Billy you've grown up listening to.
Oh, he's out of control.
He is.
Billy's out of control.
Rein it in. Wait, no, you can't.
Trash me out again.
It's like the musical version of a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Just went through your hair. Wasn't hurting. The Long Island Expressway.
Traffic. Traffic. I am old. Traffic. Traffic. I am old and sad. He's 30 when this record comes out.
He looked in the interviews, he looked like he was like 56.
Yeah.
What is it with him that he just seems to like age? He's got like reverse Benjamin Button. He accelerates aging. So you said that it's sort of
chorus,
like a,
chorus.
You may be right.
And people are saying it, you know.
But it just may be a lunatic.
See, I like how he hits.
I know.
Lunatic.
A lunatic.
The lights.
Don't try to do it.
Look, just deal with it. This is who I am, okay,
just
baby?
Strap in, lady.
Strap in. Oh, should we talk about the album cover?
Yes, we should. Absolutely,
okay.
We should.
Okay, so we got Billy about to throw a rock into a plate glass window because he's living in this mid-century modern monstrosity. And by the way, how rebellious is it to like be like, hey, I'm going to throw a rock into the window of the house that I own.
Right. I love to be inconvenienced.
That's how self-destructive he is. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the metaphor here.
We've unlocked you, Billy.
Yeah, we understand
we get you.
Do we get you? We're one of the few people that get that you're one of the truly unique performers.
The most unique.
The most unique.
Most unique.
Most unique. Wow. And then there's
wearing,
the jeans.
I was about to say, he's wearing some tight pants.
Yeah.
He is, and yeah, it just really looks like the most 19. 80s thing ever. He's got the black leather jacket. He's got the tight Levi's with maybe a hole in the knee because he's been motorcycling with his gang. And he
and they've shot him from underneath.
Right.
Which gives the vague impression of height.
Right.
But even then, it's not working.
It's really not. It's really not. And I don't think the shadow quite matches up because he's got the shadow of himself, you know, throwing this rock reflected in the glass of this house.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to quite match up.
Oh, yeah. That looks like that might just be drawn in.
Yeah.
That silhouette there.
It is literally the most badass thing I've ever seen.
That dick print, though.
Oh, geez. Ah, oh, geez.
Actually, there's not. He didn't get the memo about how you in the late 70s, early 80s, you need to bring a cucumber to the shoot.
That would have been a little something for the ladies.
There's a lot of little something for the ladies on this record. So you know, like Billy, you know, Billy and Bruce Springsteen are the same age, and they kind of came up on the same tri-state area scene at the same time. And I think that this is like Billy just, again, you know, trying to be like his brother Bruce, basically.
Oh, his big brother Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, where are you going tonight? Can I come? Hey, guys, I'm going to bring my friend Liberty DeVito and Phil Ramone.
This is Liberty's record.
It really is.
Bass drum is on 2 and 4.
He really loved playing the rock and roll.
Oh, he's so good.
He is so good.
What's the matter with the crowd I'm seeing? Don't you know that they're out of touch? Should I try to be a straight A student if y'all think you think too much?
So the next song on the record is Sometimes a Fantasy.
Which, have you seen the video
for? We're going to watch the video. Let's watch the video.
I was called you last night. It's so good.
It's just very exciting that we're now to the stage where there's videos for the songs.
And it's the early days of video.
Yeah. Does MTV exist at this stage?
I don't know. I actually don't think so. I think it was like 1982.
So again, where would these videos play?
I have no idea.
Would you buy them on a VHS
and then
watch them?
Is it something like they'd show investors to be like, this is our new product, William Joel.
Invest in Joel. Buy your Joel bonds. Picking up the phone. Dialing.
I had that phone in my my den as a child.
Sure you did.
It was red.
Okay, so we got the white phone in the all-white room that looks like that last scene in 2001.
Yes. I'm kind of
surprised. Picture of elegance.
A white cat doesn't answer the phone.
Well, it kind of does.
It kind of does.
Blonde lady picks up the phone.
Who is that?
I think that Lars Ulrich is in the corner. It's very strange. We have Billy sitting in a seedy motel room bed.
Nice.
Calling his lady, who's in the white room, who's a fancy lady.
She's so fancy. She just wears negligees all the time.
And in the motel room, Lars Ulrich is in the corner just giving Billy these mischievous looks, and I don't understand what the hell is happening.
I don't either. And I don't know why she is with this guy who lives in a motel, and she has this, like...
She seems very exasperated with him.
She's so exasperated. You know?
She's had it with him. Like, stop calling me.
Right? And Billy hasn't gotten his...
He's looking back at Lars Ulrich now, and Lars Ulrich is just, like, being like, yeah, man, you call that lady and ask for phone sex.
Exactly. And then Billy's just shaking his head like, it's not working,
Lars.
What am I going to do? And Billy's really trying to emote during this, and it's...
He's acting.
He's acting.
Why would you think from his songs that he wouldn't be a great actor?
Right, exactly.
Why would you think from his songs that he might play things a little bit broad, you know?
Right, exactly. He's embracing a character here.
It's just a fantasy.
Oh, there's his little melodic calling card.
Yep.
He just got rocked by Joel.
Ooh.
Take an aspirin, 2 glasses of water.
Rest up.
Sometimes a fantasy.
So is the fancy lady's fantasy Billy Joel?
Lars Ulrich.
Like, no, actually, I think her fantasy would be a big pile of money. I think it would be a big pile of money.
She seems to be warming up to it.
Oh, what's going on? The
phone just went over to Lars.
Lars?
Lars is holding up the phone and just sort of smiling.
And she's all, who is this sexy
man? Who's this guy?
Who's not saying anything?
Not saying anything. This is really weird.
It's so weird.
What is happening?
And he looks like he's 57 years old.
He does.
He
really I know. 30 was rough on Joel.
He's had a lot of living.
Yeah, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
She's all, what, Billy, what? It's just a fantasy. Whoa, it's not the real thing.
Okay, so I have a theory.
Yeah?
And I looked it up. Apparently Lars Ulrich in the corner actually is Billy Joel.
Really?
Yes. They must have shot this first part like, and then said, go home and grow some stubble, and we'll come back in a week and shoot you again.
No.
Yeah. Well, unless that's not a fake beard, is it? That's not like a...
I don't think that's
beard?
Billy.
It is Billy. I looked it up.
Let's watch that. I don't think... I think you're reading lies.
All right. Here he is.
Just a fantasy. No, see, the eyes are the wrong color.
What?
Billy has brown eyes. That's their blue eyes.
That's...
Unless they put contacts on him and he lost 50 pounds.
It could be... Maybe the beard is slimming.
The beard is slimming. It's the age-old contouring. But maybe it's supposed to... Well, maybe.
I think that's Billy. And I think that what's going on here is that, like, that's bad Billy's... psyche, right? That's the devil on the shoulder,
yep,
saying,
hey,
call the lady,
yep,
and ask her to talk you off.
Hey. And she seems super enthused about
super enthused,
that.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
You know, the eyes do, I think they put contacts in them because I think that is Billy, actually.
Yeah, you got those boxer's eyes. You can't hide
really
those
does.
Eyes. So much soul, so much
so
pain.
So much pain. It's...
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, what do you think of this song, Meg?
It's catchy. It's not great. But I think it's very... He was listening, obviously, to a lot of new wave.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because Billy is very easily influenced.
He's the most unique.
Yeah, he's the most unique. It's not my favorite on the album. It's not terrible. I wouldn't run out of the room.
But just as a woman, is it weird?
Because everything has to be through the lens of my womanhood. It is a little weird. Billy does have a tendency to objectify women and make them more than they should be. And I think, you know, it's just his neuroses. I think, again, he's showing us his neuroses.
Like, my thing is that it's like, I think it's kind of cool to like write a dangerous rock song about calling up your lady for a little bit of phone sex. But it's like... Be a little bit more coy about it, you know. It's really
he's not one for coyness.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see this in even more in albums to come. But Billy's main talent is taking the subtext and making it the text, right?
Right.
And like this could have been, I think, like
There's no time for subtlety in a three-minute song.
Yeah, not in the arenas.
No.
You know, you're playing the arenas. Subtlety doesn't carry to the back row at wall.
It really
you know?
Doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah, you just got to come out and say, this is a song about, oh, calling your lady for phone sex, oh, right?
I'm super weird about relationships.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Joel out.
Hey, it just goes on and on and on. Somebody make it stop.
Yeah.
Dear God. Oh, wait, there's an ending.
Oh, wait, there's an actual ending.
Yay!
Yay!
We'd like to thank our first sponsor for today's program, Swallow East, out on Montauk. Swallow East. It's a restaurant. And stop saying it's something else.
Yeah, why you gotta make a joke about it?
Why?
Why you gotta make a joke
Are
about it?
Are you in the third grade?
It's a good restaurant.
It's a good restaurant.
It says on the website that they're good for private parties and corporate dinners and weddings.
First communions?
I assume first communions would fall into that.
Right?
It's look at it. They got pictures of old fishermen on the walls.
Somebody's Nona is on the walls.
Yeah, and that makes sense because
it's a classy joint.
Yeah, it's small plates.
I love small plates.
You think that these old fishermen they would totally eat butternut squash cappuccino soup?
And they would pay $14 a small plate.
$14 for it. Yeah, exactly. It's authentic. It's Montauk, you know?
Everything good comes out of Montauk.
Everything good.
We got a summer house over there. We rented one. It was really nice.
Tell your baby. Oh, only
the good Dahlia.
So speaking of Billy taking the subtext and making it the text.
Right.
Let's listen to It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Oh, I love it. Deal with it. Come on. Street toughs.
Stabbing a Puerto Rican.
Yep.
It's my dad.
What's the matter? Don't do with Mr. Clarissa. Somewhere, and can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Oh, you know what? I think we have a let me try that again. I think we've got nope.
What?
A visitation of the blue-eyed Billy Joel from Sometimes a Fantasy. I think he finally talks in this song.
Oh, you think that's what this is?
I think that's what this is.
Well, let's listen to it through that lens, shall
All right.
we?
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Which it actually was.
Yep, it was.
Some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress trashy till you spend a lot of money. Everybody's talking about the new sound. Funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
Because he's authentic.
He is. He sees a continuity in all things.
It's very zen.
It's very zen.
Yeah. Yes.
What I'm surprised about is how fashion savvy
his lyrics are.
Well, no.
He talks about fashion a lot. It's a little bit weird for a boy, Billy.
You know, Billy, they don't really like that over on the islands.
Yeah, that's right.
Hot punk, cool punk, even if it's old junk, still rock and roll to me.
Oh!
I don't know what to say in the papers, cause it's always been the same old scene. There's a new lady in town, but you can't get the sound from a story in a magazine. Ain't that your average?
Yeah, Liberty.
Aww.
2 and 4.
So basically what this song is Joel saying, the reason that I'm incredibly uncool is because I'm too smart to be cool.
Right.
I see through all of these...
Artifice.
All the artifice, all the trends. I get, you know, because I've got these soulful eyes, I can see straight to the soul of the music.
My
and
eyes are big and they can take in everything.
Everything. And I can see... the true authentic soul of rock and roll
right.
at the heart of all of these trends that you fripperous people are.
You critics, you magazine people.
Funny you should mention the critics.
Ooh.
Because in this 2020 program, they interview a critic about Billy. Shall we watch this?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of better songwriters, technically, than he is.
Stephen Holden is a music critic who writes for the New York Times and Rolling Stone magazine.
And he keeps shifting his eyes off camera.
He does! What are you hiding, music critic? Where's the body?
Because he's the boy next door who is a terrific piano player, a terrific party entertainer. He likes rock and roll.
And he's got those serial killer eyeglasses.
Yeah.
With the two bridge thing on it, like, yeah, that was really big in the 80s.
Yeah. So what do we think about the critical disdain of Joel?
I think it's too easy. I think it's typical critic hating popular culture. Like seeing it, needing art and music to be something more than it is.
I think that like rock writing in the 70s and 80s, really until, well, basically rock writing period, but especially during the like punk and new wave eras, really wasn't writing about music. It was writing about fashion and coolness.
Right, exactly.
Right? And if you're just going to judge on that score, then yeah, you're going to rate Billy pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And that just irritates me. I really hate rock writing. And even though I hate Joel, I think I hate this Stephen Holden guy even more.
Yeah.
With his just, he keeps looking off camera like, am I doing it right?
Is the FBI
am I doing it right?
Gonna?
Yeah. Is Billy, what, is Billy here?
What,
is he here?
What? Is this a surprise? Is this Gotcha Journalism 2020?
I know, exactly. Is Billy going to come in like Chris Hansen?
Right? Punch him in the throat.
And be like, hey, what you doing here? What's going on here?
Say it to my face, Stephen Holden.
Here we go. Shot a pretty good shot. Get at least as far as their old man got. Something happened on the way to place.
Do we want to do Don't Ask Me Why or his another obsessive women's song, a song for Leanna?
Oh, Lena. Doing it Lena. All for Lena?
Doing it all for Lena.
Okay. Oh, Meg. He's playing that Yamaha.
Oh.
He's going to throw it. If you're sitting in the first three rows, you may get squashed.
You're totally going to leave with some bone damage. I'm in my Corvette. I'm going to, you know, turn this up.
She stood on the tracks, waving her arms, leading me to that third rail.
Bam!
Quick as a wink, she changed her mind. She gave me a night, that's all it was. What will it take until I stop kidding myself?
This is a rock song. It's all sharp edges.
There's nothing else I can do, cause I'm doing it all for Lena.
So, do we think he's being slightly ironic about writing from the point of view of a 16-year-old boy?
No, I think he's emotionally always at the point of a 16-year-old boy.
Dang.
I like how, I really like this song though.
Yeah.
He's doing different things vocally and it's sharper and it's just, it's edited better.
There's
tighter.
Cool rhythm stuff. Yeah. I think that, you know, again, Liberty being a good positive influence. I will point out though that like, okay, so listen to the opening piano riff again. All right, now let's listen to some songs also from the same era.
Yes. And I think there's a Foreigner song that starts out like that.
This is this is Toto Hold the Line.
Yep.
A little similar.
Always on time.
Okay. I think there's a Foreigner song with the same thing. There's a Tom Petty song that basically starts the same way. And I haven't done my homework to find out who was ripping off who, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that it was Joel ripping everybody off.
Being influenced by everyone else.
It's truly unique.
He's the most unique.
I don't need you to worry for me, cause I'm alright. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home.
It's time to thank our second sponsor for the program today, Palos Plastic Covers in fabulous Garden City, Long Island. Palos has plastic covers for all your divans, your chaise lounges, your chaise lozenges.
You got it.
And your Chesterfields and your settees.
You know,
settees.
Settees, even. Your settees and your settees, so your setter doesn't sit on them. Because he's got some muddy paws.
They're really getting their money's worth, Palazar, with this ad.
They
you know?
Really are. They really are. Because sometimes you don't want strange... You spend all day cleaning your house and making some really good sauce, some ragu.
Yeah. They call it gravy, you know? It's Italian gravy.
It's Italian. You're going to spend your entire day doing that. And then here come people with their muddy boots.
Yeah.
And their dogs.
I know.
And they're going to sit on your couch that your grandmother gave you. No.
No. You can't have that.
You can't have that. Get the hell out of here.
Get that dog off the couch.
Get that dog
off the goddamn couch, Brenda.
But you know what, Eddie? We don't have to let the dog out of the couch because we've got a plastic cover from Paolo's. Let the dog sit there. He's a good dog.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
So this record is another one of these records. Like the entire side one is hit singles.
Yeah.
Five straight hit singles in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then the back out, the second half of the record is like a lot of not.
Right.
But even unlike the 52nd Street album that you like for some reason, like
it's a good album.
I actually think there are some good songs on the second half of Glass Houses. And actually maybe my favorite Joel song is on the second half of Glass Houses. And it's a little tune.
Tell me more.
That is now... totally anachronistic because the television doesn't go off the air at night anymore.
Hey!
Look out! the boys are rocking.
Well, I've been watching you waltz all night, Diane. Nobody's found a way behind you.
There's his calling card.
Oh,
you got rocked.
You just
until you're pointing it.
Epsom salts.
All night long. You shoot him down because you're waiting for somebody good to come along. But you'll be sleeping with the television on.
I think
you're gonna die alone.
I think that it's sincere. It's sort of sad, but not maudlin.
Yeah.
You know.
Say you're looking for someone solid here. You can't be bothered with those just for the night, boys. Tonight, unless you take some kind of chances, dear. Tomorrow morning, you'll wake up with the white noise. All night long, all night long. You're only standing next to somebody once did somebody wrong. All night long, but you'll be sleeping with the television on. Your eyes are saying,
you guys. It's just like, dude, can you please tone it down a little bit?
You've actually, that's not what this album's about. It's about rocking.
You've written a reasonably subtle song. Can you please just keep it under control? All right, listen to this. I love this verse.
I know you don't need anybody's protection. I really wish I was less of a thinking man and more a fool who's not afraid of rejection. All night long.
And that's a song that really, I think, sums up the experience of, like, of self-styled, smart, nerdy boys everywhere, you know, of just wishing that you didn't have the brains to be aware of what a loser you were, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm sad for losers everywhere. No, there's a lot of subtle songwriting in the song. There's also a line that says you're afraid to say anything because it's the same old line of somebody else.
Right.
Like you're being earnest, but it's smarmy on somebody else and you're being punished for it.
Yeah.
It really is this great song of dating and heartbreak and just being terrified of rejection. And he has it with like a poppy sort of, you know, rocking background. Mm. And then
you can't have any other kind of background when Liberty's on the kit.
You really can't. He's not gonna let you, you know, go down that road and bum yourself out. He's Liberty. But yeah, it's a poignant song.
But again, sort of written from the perspective of a teenage boy. And do we think that that is sort of an affectation that he is putting on for this record, or is he still emotionally a teenage boy at 30?
I wonder if
30
he's
going
saying
on
that...
45.
I wonder if he's saying that we're all in relationships. We're all essentially, we've not grown past the age of 16. We all still have these, you know, really deep-seated fears, and we pretend with, you know, we try to be more sophisticated and, you know, you wear a Halston dress and you go to Studio 54.
You pursue an education like James?
Right. Damn it, Gregory. But I think essentially that we're all just these fumbling teenagers.
Right.
And it's vulnerable and it's sweet and it's just really connects.
And the rest of us listen to it and we're like, actually, no, Billy, that's just you. we all actually became adults. That's just you, buddy. Stop universalizing your experience.
There's a lot of good psychiatrists in New York City.
Is there another deep cut that you would like to listen to?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. There's the one... I like Through the Long Night.
Through the Long Night?
Yeah, I think this is a really sweet song.
That's the freaking theme from Midnight Cowboy.
Is it?
Yes. God damn it. The most unique.
The most unique.
Silence. So late. But I.
This is just the kind of song. Okay, you've had a terrible day.
Yeah.
You're going to get into the bathtub and you're going to listen to the song and you're just going to kind of float and be like, oh God, Billy, you understand my pain.
Is that what you did last night?
Yep. Weeping.
You know, there's also a French song on the second half of the record.
Oh, my God. And I wanted to talk about this so bad. There is a Entertainment Weekly article with Billy Joel where he says this is literally the worst song he's ever written.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, 52nd Street was this huge hit over in France. And he wanted to do something. He
loved something the sound.
He wanted to do something for the French. He really liked the sound of French and So he hired a translator to translate
some
of his song into French.
And it was like kind of a Google Translate situation?
Yes. And so he went to Paris and played it. And the entire crowd was just sort of silent.
Yeah.
And he asked, you know, the promoter afterwards. And he's like, well, it just didn't seem to connect with people. He's like, do you know why? He's like, well, they thought you were singing in Polish.
In Polish?
Because his French was so bad.
Me revoici dans un parfumé.
C'est toi.
Avec mes sourires, je me parle à moi-même.
Je me parle.
Où c'était toi? Où c'était toi?
Ouh, c'était toi?
Oh.
Me revoici.
Dang.
Je
getting hot in here.
Ooh.
Combine that with the jeans, and it's just deal sealed.
She's my up, down, girl. Uptown girl.
Power rankings.
Power. Joel Power Rankings.
Joel Power Rankings.
Power Rankings.
Right now, Stranger is at number one, followed by 52nd Street, Turnstiles, and Piano Man, and then a bunch of silly things. Street Life Serenade still squarely at the bottom of our list.
Worst album.
That's okay. I think there's going to be some worse things to come.
No. No. We have hit our absolute nadir. Nadir?
Nadir?
Nadir? Nadar?
Your French is almost as good as Billy's.
Je suis très intelligent.
That was actually pretty good. Did you take French in high school?
I did, and I was terrible at it. Yeah. I thought like
you were terrible.
I was.
You were terrible. Oh my god, you were terrible.
Oh my god, I was so bad.
Ugh.
I just don't have a head for languages.
You make great gravy, though.
Oh, you know, everybody swings and roundabouts, you know? Everybody's got something. There's a pot for every lid.
All right. Where would you like to put glass houses?
Glass houses. I actually think glass houses is better than The Stranger.
Really?
Yeah.
In what sense?
In the sense that he is embracing the subtlety. His songwriting seems to be getting better.
His lyrics are more clever.
Yeah.
Right? He is going for clever lyrics on Glass Houses, whereas The Stranger was mostly still just earnest lyrics.
Right.
Or just dripping with disdain lyrics.
So I think he's technically getting better.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that. We're gonna put Glass Houses at number one.
We are gonna put Glass Houses at number one.
Dang, followed by The Stranger. Stranger, sit down. Shut up.
Shut up.
All right, well, what do we have coming up next, Meg?
I'm pretty excited about what's coming next. It's Nylon Curtain. We're skipping over Songs from the Attic because that's a live album. We'll do those later. But
no, we won't.
All right, fine, whatever. We didn't talk about this before, so I guess we're not going to do this. So you guys have some homework. Listen to that album. It's great. Okay, so Nylon Curtain, it's got one of my favorite, two of my favorite Billy Joel songs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Allentown, which is my karaoke jam.
Okay.
I feel connected to the people of the earth who dig the coal.
Should we talk about why Joel makes such effective karaoke fodder, or should we save that for next week?
Let's save that for next week, because this is
totally a weekly show.
Yeah.
And saying that something is going to happen next week makes a lot of sense.
It totally does.
Okay.
But also pressure.
Pressure!
And then he falls into all those like styrofoam little corn things in the video. He's like, what? Some packing peanuts? No, not in the packing peanuts. And then Laura, which is a great song.
Laura.
Laura.
Can I disdain on you?
How can I say that you suck, but I need you? I'm Billy Joel.
It's the whole career in one line.
There we go.
It's really
there
good.
There we go. Ugh. I have messed up feelings about ladies. I was raised by a single mom.
Does Billy have any words of wisdom today, Meg?
He certainly does. We didn't get a chance to listen to this song today, but if you have a chance later, please listen to it. It is from Borderline, and it was just a line that just hit me, man.
You were just like, Billy, you get me.
You get me.
All right?
You get me.
All right. Honesty. It's mostly what I need from you.
All right. But you can't afford to squander what you're not prepared to pay. I don't know what that means. It just sounded real nice.
I think that's a double negative, isn't it?
I don't know.
So basically it just means nothing. It just canceled that line. Cancels itself out.
I'd like to get that line tattooed across my back.
Mm. You know, it would vanish immediately because it can't. Yeah.
Right, exactly. It never existed to begin with. What, Billy?
You're really going to say the borderline never existed to begin with? That famous song? That song that's. It's the summer of our lives, that song?
Exactly. Number one summer jam. So many memories.
Thank you, listeners. Join us next time for more We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusa. I still really don't like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I always will. Bye.
Keep your Joel-y thoughts coming at us on Twitter using the hashtag JoelHole. Meg, there is at Donahue Meg.
Oh, sorry. Right. My turn. Adam is at A Ragusa. This podcast is a hobby project created by us. We're not using it to make money. The opinions expressed are our own. They're not our families. They're not our bosses. And thank you for listening to them.
Sure. Also, thank you to the real businesses that we sometimes mention as being our sponsors in our show. They are real, but the ads are fake. They have not given us any money or goods or services, even though we really deserve it.
We really do.
Yeah.
Really knocked it out of the park.
Mm, big time. Good pod, Meg.
Good pod. La 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 boom.